Good morning and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Mirelle Parker, and here we are in Perth, Australia. It's 6:39 a.m. as I'm recording this, and I'm really motivated. So it's, yeah, I'm off to see, we have Van Gogh's Starry Nights that's here at the moment, but it's like this interactive, or like, how do I say this, 3D experience, and I'm off to see it with my mum this morning, so I'm recording this early for you. So today's story is trying to lose 5 kilos for 14 years like me. So this is my story, and it has a lot to do with my journey. And so I'm going to share it with you in case you relate to it too, because I also have put all the wisdom that I learned from this 14 years and recovering from it, of going from body obsession to body love, into a transformational guide. And the link is in the show notes, or you can go to mirelleparker.com/shop to find it there. It's called Radiate, and it is about loving your body beautiful. So to start with, let's drop into our bodies, and then I'll tell you the story. I've been learning about the three brains, the head, the heart, and the gut, and doing a coaching training with this. So we did this exercise yesterday, and let's do it now to drop into, to just be really present in our bodies. So just close your eyes if you can. You don't need to lie down or anything, it's just for a minute. And sit up straight if you like, or lean back in your chair if you like, and breathe in. Put the focus on your head. And with the focus on your head, I want you to say to yourself or out loud, "My dear head, I see you, I appreciate you, and I trust you." And take a deep breath in and put the focus on the heart and breathe into there. And with your attention still on your heart, you say to yourself or out loud, "My dear heart, I see you, I appreciate you, and I love you, and I trust you." Sorry. And I love you too. So now put the focus to your gut. Breathe in that space. Put the attention there. And then say to yourself or out loud, "My dear gut, I see you, I appreciate you, and I trust you." And we thank the universe, God, whoever, higher self, whatever you believe in. We thank your body. We thank all that is for our amazing bodies that help us to do whatever we want and are working so tirelessly, so miraculously, 24/7. What an amazing miracle our bodies and our heads, mind is and are. And you can feel that focus on your body at any time. Maybe you can feel it now as I'm talking. You can put the attention on your body as you listen and perhaps feel that vibration, the life force that's within. So, my dear, trying to lose 5 kilos for 14 years, like, it began when I went to high school. So it began when I was 13. So I was a very creative kid, and also I was never really obsessed with food and was just naturally my natural body shape or size. And I did a lot of sport as well, because I did a lot of dancing, which I did too when I was 13. But things changed when I got to high school, because I was interested in so many different things, like theatre arts and acting, making up plays. And, you know, I'm a writer now, and I was never, you hear of authors and they say, yeah, they were always writing stories. I didn't really write that many stories except for what we did for class. And also there was one story I wrote about my Cabbage Patch Kid, her first Christmas, you know, because I loved those American cartoons about Christmas and perhaps books as well, but I just mostly remember the cartoons that I would watch coming up to Christmas. So I created this book for her called Sarah's First Christmas, and then I decorated it all, you know, illustrated it with a glitter, and I've still got it. Hopefully it will be a relic one day and it will be in a museum and people will be like, that was author Mirelle Parker's first book she ever wrote. And it was everything. It was not just one thing. It was like acting, theatre arts, playwriting, making up games for my cousins, and we used to do a family, a nativity play every year, and me and my cousin Amanda would get on the phone coming up to Christmas and write this nativity play and work it all out, and then on the day we would make our cousins, our younger cousins mostly, and our boy cousins do it with us for the parents. And so it was everything. So when I got to high school, I didn't take art because I liked painting and I liked drawing a lot, but I wanted to try different things that I had never done before. You know, in human design, I'm a splenic projector and a 3-6, which is learning through trial and error is my profile. So I wanted to try things that I had never done before, like theatre arts and home economics, because me and my cousin had a cake baking business as well when we were 10, and we wrote a jingle for it and we would perform it. That was the other thing. We would do dances, makeup dances, like to dressed in yellow. She said, "Hello, come and sit next to me, you fine fellow." You know that one. And so, yeah, just really loved performing, but also cooking. And by then I was getting more interested in food. So I decided to take theatre arts. And, you know, my parents too, together, they could, if there's anyone I'd like to be stranded on a desert island with, it's those two, because you know, my dad is an engineer and my mum just can do everything because when she grew up, her father died when she was 12 and they didn't have money growing up. He was a doctor in Bombay, but after he died, like she would have to, they were the doctor's children, so they couldn't make out, like they didn't have money. So she would get one dress and she would sew it into, after a time, into other outfits. And so, yeah, together, my parents can do everything. Like my dad could fix anything, washing machine, whatever, and my mum could sew, make anything, do hair, do nails, whatever it was. So I guess that's why I was interested in sewing too. So home economics. So I took theatre arts and home economics, and I took French as well because I was very interested in that because we had to learn it for ballet, learn the steps, the names in French, and then my mum convinced me to go to this high school, this all-girls high school, by saying I could learn French and igniting my imagination for that. Because she learnt French in high school as well. I'm just drinking a coffee here, so I hope you've got your coffee or a tea or a glass of wine, whatever time it is for you. So high school. I remember on the first social studies assignment that we did, and you know in high school I knew 3 people out of the 120 in our year group. So everything was brand new. And on the first assignment, which was on Krakatoa, I can still see the image of this in my mind. I wrote on it, I drew a picture. So it was about the volcanic eruption of Krakatoa. And I drew a picture of a volcano on the cover. And the teacher wrote on it, "We don't do this anymore." And I felt such shame in that moment because, you know, not knowing what high school was about, I felt like a child. Already I was still secretly playing with Barbie dolls. And I just felt like, so such a child still at 13, not yet an adult or a teenager. So but that was a point at which I put that self away and decided that I needed to get with the program. And that was also, my boyfriend that I had had in primary school, just in the last year or few months of primary school, he broke up. He went to the high school, and the rest of my friends went to the co-ed high school that was attached to our school. So he was meeting other girls, and he broke up with me on Valentine's Day via my friend. And it was, and then my nana died as well. So it was like a pretty hard time. And so I decided I needed to grow up, and so put that part of me away and turn my body into the art project. So this creativity that was flowing through me, so that's what I don't believe, like it's my creativity, it's like this creativity flows, the life force, the creative force flows through us when we're open to it, when we're receptive. And so yes, that's what my transformational radiate guide is about. It's like healing from all that body obsession or that just thinking about it too much, so that we can be that open channel for the creativity to flow through us, and we can be that channel to tune into, or that, sorry, tuning mechanism, instrument to tune into the quantum field, to intuition, to all that is. And that's what I found since healing from that I was a lot more able to tune into intuition and to explore my creativity. So they went hand in hand to open up to the creative flow. So yes, so basically that was, so after that I got into, you know, buying magazines, and then girls' magazines and women's magazines. And you know the thing with magazines, like, okay, they need to make a profit, they need to make money to keep it going, so it perpetuates. So you read these articles about how you can improve yourself, and then there are ads for whatever products, luxury or otherwise, and with models. And so it leaves you in this cycle of feeling, you know, aspirational, but then down on yourself. And I got to a stage, but it wasn't until I was 18 or 19 when I realized that after reading the magazines, I would be, I would be hungry. I would want to eat, because it put me in this state, kind of a little bit of a depression or anxiety. And so what I started to do when I was more of an adult, I started to rip out, and I did this with Oprah magazine when, I don't know how old I must have been, in my 20s. I would rip out all of the ads before I would read the magazine, and I found it a very empowering process. So if you are interested in magazines and you want to read them, but they make you feel a bit shitty, I would do that. Try it. So now it doesn't bother me. I don't feel that way. But at that time, I needed to do that for a long time, rip out the ads before I read it. And so that was one aspect. So I went through this cycle from when I was 13 or 14 to when I was 28, where I would want to lose weight. So I would put myself on a diet or just like health kick or detox or whatever it was. And I would go through this cycle of deprivation, which lasted usually a day or maybe longer, but usually it wasn't that long. And then I would just not be able to continue with it, because I hadn't truly identified and healed what I was hungry for. And in Radiate, that's what I take you through, that process. And I call them transformational guides because they're a guide. So there's exercises to do, and it's an experience. It's a journey. So I would go through that cycle of deprivation, and then I wouldn't be able to keep up with it, whatever it was. Like, I'm never eating junk food again, or I'm just eating this from no fat, when that was the thing. So I wouldn't be able to keep it up, and I would then eat the thing that I wasn't supposed to. And then because I felt guilty, I would binge eat. And then I couldn't stop binge eating, because if you stopped, you'd feel guilty. And so I'd overeat, and then I'd hate myself, feel like a failure, and then set a new goal, diet, deprivation for myself, and the cycle would continue. So this, yeah, and at different times, you know, I exercised a lot and didn't eat very much. So I went through different stages. I think in high school was especially like that, and I know I wasn't alone in that. And but as I got older, yeah, different periods of times. Like when I lived with my friends in London when I was 22 to 23, that was probably the healthiest I ever was with my diet. I didn't think about it, because, you know, in London you walk everywhere. I mean, catching the tube is like walking, a lot of walking. And I worked in a bar at the beginning, so I was just walking a lot, and we would eat together. So, you know, they say the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. So at that point, I felt really connected to my friends, and so I didn't deprive myself. I would eat what I wanted. Like when I first got there, I remember I used to, that was when I had full cream milk for the first time in years, like since I was 13 probably. And it was so satisfying, you know, because the actually having something that's full cream is actually, I mean, I'm not a doctor or even a dietitian or anything, but this is just from my experience. I'm not a health coach either, but I was a transformational coach. So from my experience, when you, and what I've read too, is that if you have something that's low fat, it has a lot more sugar or sugar-like substances than, and so it raises your blood sugar level faster and then it crashes you faster. So then you get very hungry. So, but when you have something that's full cream, it has the fat in it. So that keeps your blood sugar levels more stable. So really, when I started, and it was just so tasty having that full cream milk in my cereal. And then at the beginning, I was staying at my friend's brother's house and we would have, so I'll just have their cereal and milk. And then when I was teaching, I would maybe have those Turkish Delight bars, or I would eat banana cake for breakfast, a slice of banana cake for breakfast, and then go off. That was when I was living above this bar called Oblivion in London with my other friends. And so that's what I would have for breakfast. And then I wouldn't even really think about it. And then have a lunch, maybe a sandwich or from one of the many sandwich shops in London. And then for dinner, I would have, when I was living above the Oblivion, I would make, we didn't have a very nice kitchen, but I would make pesto pasta with some vegetables to save money. And when I lived with my other friends, where we lived in Clapham South as well, we lived next to Vivian Westwood's mother in the same apartment building. My four friends, we lived in a two-bedroom flat, and it was actually really nice. We shared rooms, shared beds, but it was nice compared to what other Australians had, to the conditions they lived in there that we had heard about, where they lived like 10 in a house. So when I lived there, I would often eat tuna salad with my friend Leah, tuna, corn, green olives, lettuce, or we would get some dal and rice from the local petrol station, I think it was, or we would eat at this half-price pizza and pasta place, and we would put like chili oil on our pizza. And I remember when my friend Georgia came there for the first time to visit us, and it was such a revelation, like, what, you're putting oil on your food, you know? And we were, you know, I think we all were in the best shape of our life, I guess Leah and I were. So it just showed me that I could eat fat and eat what I wanted and not really think about it. And that's the freedom that I think is the transformation. And so I moved back to Perth and I was, same, still good, free of that body obsession. But then when I was 25 and I moved to New York to do hip hop dancing, that was at the stage where the low carb diet was really in, and the what is it called, Atkins or that kind of thing, and South Beach diet. And so I would, again, I got into this cycle of, you know, trying to do this low carb diet and then failing, and also being quite obsessed. And I was, yeah, lonely in New York as well, because everyone's so busy with their own lives, and I didn't think people really, I had some friends, but I didn't really feel connected, or that people could see that I was maybe not happy at times. They would more talk about themselves. So I felt that disconnection, and again channeled it into this body obsession. And then, yeah, when I would have emotional issues, like so many guys promising you things in New York, from I'm going to put you into a music video, no, what was it? Yes, a documentary on B-girls to I'm going to make you into a statue. So many promises. And I was vulnerable to that because I didn't see myself, the value in myself yet. I wasn't fully owning who I was. And so I needed that from other people, that outside, so-called appreciation or recognition. And which is a common thing for a projector. So, yeah, or even just guys who wanted to, you know, meet up and then it not happening, or you go on a date with someone, then didn't work out, this kind of emotional issues, this would cause me to binge eat. And yeah, or otherwise just, and my friend said that when I came back from New York, I was really toned and ripped. It was really just the last 3 weeks that I put myself on a strict diet, because I had that motivation of coming back home. And I remember I would eat an apple and have a coffee with half and half, it's like the cream, an iced coffee, and I would walk around because it was the end of my time there. So, and then I would, yeah, just, and then I would have for lunch like an omelette. So I was doing the low carb thing. So, yeah. And then I remember I wouldn't eat between meals, and I would write down every calorie. I still have that notebook where I'd write down like what I ate in the day and how many calories it was. And then when I also remember on the way home at Hong Kong Airport, I had to take a 16-hour flight from New York to Hong Kong. And then I had a few hours at Hong Kong, and I remember doing like sit-ups and like lunges at Hong Kong Airport, and then another 12-hour flight back to Perth. So I was in good shape when I got back, because I didn't want to come back fatter than when I went away, because I find when I do a lot of exercise, I actually put on weight, and that's to do, and I talk about this in the guide too, like the cortisol, your body holding on to fat. But the other thing was that I worked in a French cafe, and so again, I would try to do like the French Women Don't Get Fat program book, but I hadn't healed the emotional needs that were why I was eating. So I could never last. I would bring my leek soup to work, and then by lunchtime I was like having endless scoops of ice cream, or eating out the chocolate from the biscotti, or eating little slice after little slice of pecan pie, so delicious, or whatever it was. But yeah, it wasn't a good time for me diet-wise. self-esteem or confidence wise because of that. And then I remember I worked with these Egyptian guys, and one of them said to me, "Oh, you've put on weight since you worked here, haven't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Everyone does, so all the girls do." And so I didn't want to come back home after doing 6 day a week hip hop dancing, come back in worse shape than when I went away. So that's why I did that strict diet at the end, and I could stick to it. But it always, it could never last for that long. I did stick to it when I went home, and I was doing the calorie counting and eating certain things. And then, I went to Lisbon because I was moving to France, to Montpellier. I went to Lisbon to the European Cup in, what year was it, 2004? Yeah, I was 25 then. And I would, at first I stuck to this kind of diet, but then as I got more comfortable or out of alignment, I don't know what it was, I felt down on myself, and then I put myself on another strict diet, and, where I was only eating. And I was going to France, and I wanted to be, because I always felt in France the most ugly and fat. So I wasn't, that's the thing, I wasn't even. I was maybe a few kilos heavier than I am now. And so, I put myself on this strict diet where I would eat. For breakfast, I would just have black coffee and a yogurt. And I was like in hostels, and then moving there to Montpellier. I was in Bordeaux, and then I went to Toulouse, and then to Montpellier. And I was able to stick to it for a while. But so I would just have yogurt with oats and a black coffee. And I was allowed to drink as much black coffee as you want between meals. And water, of course. And then, the black, I wouldn't eat between meal. Then I could eat what I wanted for lunch. And then for dinner, because it was at the hostel, I would just have a capsicum and tuna. So that was it. And I probably kept this up for maybe 3 weeks, and I felt very slim and very attractive. But it never lasted. And when I was in Montpellier, I tried to do like the South Beach diet, or I'd try to just eat between meals, and I would end up like eating all the chocolate out of the cereal, or eating a 6-pack of yogurt when I returned from working at the beach, because I was just so hungry and I was ravished and obsessed. But every time I tried to do it, diet, it would make me more obsessed. And then even when I was 28, actually it was longer than 28, because even into my early 30s I would be not binging anymore, but still really interested in like health and getting all these magazines out from the library about wellness and trying to implement everything. And so, I would say that was the tail end of it. So it was a bit longer than 14 years. But when I actually got in tune with what I was really hungry for and gave it to myself first, which is what I've worked with clients on before, then I was this healed. And then I put my creative energy into writing and into my coaching business, or into art even. And then I was it just was not an issue anymore. just didn't interest me. Like, I'm not interested in knowing everything about health anymore. I'm just interested in living my life and enjoying it. And that's what I would like for everyone, because we're meant for so much more than being obsessed with this, with our bodies. We're meant to love our bodies and see her or him or them as a friend, or it as a friend, a very good friend who we can count on to help us. And so that's what Radiate and Loving Your Body Beautiful is all about. So one woman that I worked with, she had been bulimic for 20 years, and she, through our coaching session, she worked out that what she really desired was, what she was doing it for was rebellion. It was to say, fuck you, I can do what I want. And so when she started actually doing some healthier rebellious things, some real exhilarating rebellious things, and even just being aware of that made her heal from it. And for myself, I remember when I was working, I would, in the break time teaching, I would eat the biscuits that were there. You know, they're not even something I was really desiring, but they were there. And what I really desired was a party. You know, I wanted some excitement. I was a bit bored, and or I wanted some energy, and that's what I was getting. So when I realized that, I was able to give it to myself. So you can work out what you're really hungry for and give it to yourself. And the transformational guide, Radiate, will take you through that process, if you like, with more. And I hope that this helped. Even sharing my story, perhaps you could connect to some of it and it could help you. I hope so. So that's it for today, my friend. All the links are below to my shop or to my blog or whatever you like. It's all below. And I wish you a lot of presence in the week ahead. And I look forward to coming back next week with another story for you. Bye for now.